Good morning again. I brought some nice pictures this morning from Russia. There was a zookeeper in Russia, and he was taking care about the chimpanzees. And there was one chimpanzee, she had a child, or a little baby chimpanzee, but for whatever reason, the mama chimpanzee was rejecting the baby. And it can be really fatal for the baby, because sooner or later the mom will just kill the baby or just not nurturing it. So the zookeeper decided, well, I just take the baby chimpanzee with me, because at the same time his dog had also puppies, and he was thinking, well, you know what, maybe it works out. And I found some sweet pictures here. It's a big dog and a massive dog. And indeed, she adopted the chimpanzee baby. Some really nice, cute pictures here. Just gorgeous. That's another one holding the paw, and it's just sweet. I think that's my favorite one. Well, it's just hilarious. I mean, the baby chimpanzee is just learning all the habits the dogs have, you know. It's not like I'm just learning, so I think that's the best picture here. This is also a good one, like, kind of, you know, it wasn't me. So, really cute pictures. Anyways, that's another one. Why do I show these pictures here today? Right, we like to talk about adoption today. It's not such a fancy word, like Chris used the other words the last few weeks, so he gave me the adoption word, which I really appreciate. You can flip with me in your Bible to Romans 8. Romans 8, the verses 11 to 17. And that's the NLT version. Starting from verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Talking about adoption, or when we look through this passage, how often is the word adoption mentioned? Did you pay attention? Oh, I forgot that. It's just mentioned once. I have to look where it is. Yeah, see it right there? It's just mentioned once. But there are other words that really related to the word adoption or adopted. It's children of God, Abba Father, God's children, heirs. These are all words who connected to the word adoption or adopted. There's another word that shows up quite often. It is the word Spirit. Seven times the word of Spirit shows up here. So that tells me somehow there must be a connection between the word adoption and the word Spirit. So the Spirit has a really big job to do when we talk here about adoption. Spirit, the Greek word would be pneuma. Now, who's a shop teacher who likes to work with machines? You know what pneuma means, you know, it has something to do with air, with compressed air, moving parts. Here it's not moving parts, it's just, we translated it as spirit, and talking about God's spirit. was moving. So that's the word pneuma. Now later on, what is he saying? I have to look again. Now flip back. The Paul is here talking about a sinful nature. Where was that verse? I think it's 12, yeah. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Now the question for all of us, how often is your sinful nature urging you to do things? Okay, I'll give you a little bit of help. Is it A, just until you accepted Christ, afterwards the desire is gone? So that's an option. B would be once in a while, especially when you're not reading your Bible. Or is it C, every day, even though I accepted Christ and I promised to follow Him every day? Okay. Who is for A? Okay. A few people here. Okay. Who is for B? Nobody? Nobody? Who is for C? Who? It's kind of a bummer, huh? You would think, I mean, I accepted Christ, you know, and I really promised to follow Him every day. But somehow, it's still not working. You think, I closed the door, the sin can't enter my house anymore. But somehow it's still coming in. Yesterday my neighbor called me because she locked herself out of the house. Two little kids, you know, called me if I could help. So I went over there and yeah, she was locked out. Because she felt, well, if I lock the door, it's safer, right? And well, yes, to a certain point it is safer, but you know how it is if you really like to go into a house, especially with the right tools. You go into the house, right? And it's the same with the sin. If you accepted Christ in your life, you kind of shut the door for the sin. And the sin knows, okay, I'm not supposed to go there anymore, but I try to go there anyways. So it is harder, it's a little bit harder for the sin, but it's not impossible for sin to enter your house again. So it's still doing it. And it's not just doing that once in a while, maybe every week. You know, it's trying hard every day. Every day, every hour, every minute. It's just nasty. I have to admit something. Lately, I went to the watershed, and I got some drinking water. And I had my family with me, so they were waiting in the car. And I saw a questionable men's magazine laying in the snow. And I was picking it up because I thought I'd like to take a closer look later on. And I drove home, and while I was driving, the Holy Spirit was convicting me that this is not right and I have to burn it. And I knew that already in my mind, of course. I went home, and there was a friend waiting for me. He needed some stuff out of the shop. The Spirit convicted me that I have to talk with my friend about it. And the stove was already burning, and I was able to confess to God and to my friend, and we burned it. My old sinful nature got me right there. Now who burnt the magazine? I burnt the magazine. But I believe that the major work God was doing, because He convicted me, while I was driving with my family home, He put my friend in the right spot at the right time, right? So He did the right thing. And if you see sinful nature coming up, you better hit it hard, okay? And now this is a daily struggle, and I bet everybody here could tell another story. For sure. It is a daily struggle. If you think you accepted Christ in your life and from then on sin is not showing up in your life anymore, it would be awesome, but sorry. It is a daily struggle. My old sinful nature is there, and you better prepare. And you better have something in your hand. And sometimes somebody else has to help you. Verse 13 says, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Who remembers what Psalm 121 says? It's a famous one. I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The Spirit is helping you. Now, if I say to Finn, hey, Finn, can you please clean up the table? Or, hey, can you go outside and just put some wood on the forge that we're prepared when it goes back to 40 below? Or, can you do the dishes, whatever? He's doing that, so he's helping me. And it helps me. But if Finn is at school, I also can do it myself, right? So I go out, put the wood on the forge, do the dishes, or clean up the table. He's helping me, but if I have to, I also can do it on my own. Now, when I think it's David, when he's calling out here, hey, where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Well, the Lord is giving us a way bigger help. It's not just a little, you know, a little, okay, I just help you a little bit. No, he's doing the major work. Another example, going back to the summertime, went to the road trip with Misha, and we were driving down to Missouri for 4 weeks, and I had a trailer behind me. And I should have known that something is happening with the trailer, because I gained some experience the winter before. Once, I think I borrowed Chris's trailer, and he told me, hey, you know what, that one tire is a little bit leaky, check the pressure. Well, once I wasn't checking the pressure, and we shredded the tire. Oh, remember that, Carl? Yep, Carl was with me around a year. So we had to replace the tire. Later on, we tried to use Roger's trailer, which nobody used for years, and we used it, and suddenly the tire came off. Anyways, back to the road trip. So again, driving the trailer, and the tire didn't came off, luckily, but it shredded again. But we were really lucky because we had a spare tire, right, Misha? So that was easy. Spare tire was there, but, oh my goodness, the car jack is missing. How smart is that? Yeah, it was just bad that the car jack wasn't there. I think it was in another car that was 20 minutes ahead of us, you know, and there was no way for me to change that trailer tire because there was no car jack. Well, wait a second. There was no hydraulic car jack. But I had around 10 teenage guys with me. So, we emptied the trailer and then they just picked up the trailer easy and I was able. In the meantime, I was able to change the trailer tire. Now, could I have done that on my own, to change the trailer tire? No! In that point, I really needed the 10 strong Misha guys. And they did it. And this is what I mean here when we're talking about that God is doing the major work. He's not just helping a little bit. No, he's doing really the main work. And it's the same that God is adopting us. He is doing the main work. Just think about adoption. Now when Josh and Teresa adopted Naomi, was it Naomi who was saying, hey, yep, I take them. Was it her decision? No. When it was time, Josh and Teresa decided, yep, we'd like to take her. A few years ago when Caitlin got adopted, was Caitlin deciding, yep, I picked them? No. When it was time, Kenton and Connie said, yep, we'd like to take her. It was God. God is in control and He is doing the stuff. He's doing the adoption, not you. Let's see, what's the next here? The second point is adopted in his family. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now when we go back to the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, it tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Now there's no doubt about it that everybody here in this room, including me, we are made in the image of God. There's no doubt about that everybody in Galena is made in the image of God. Everybody in the state of Alaska is made in the image of God. Everybody in the whole world, even Germany, Iran, Iraq, everybody is made in the image of God. But what's the difference? You know, this scripture is not talking about image of God. We go a step farther here. We're talking about children of God. And this is a little bit different. Everybody is made in the image of God, but not everybody is a child of God. You are a child of God if you are led by the Spirit. Now, going back to the first thing, who's doing the work? Well, God is doing. He is leading you. At the same time, you also can decide, I'm really willing that the Spirit is guiding me. Same time, it's your choice, and you can decide if you like to be led from the Spirit. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own child. Now we call Him Abba, Father. A few months ago, Silke and myself, we started to apply for the adoption process. And while you're doing that, you have to go through courses and do case studies. And you read some really horrible stories about kids and their environment, how they grew up, and really often the father wasn't there. If the father was there, it wasn't really a father, I guess. Really often the father is treating the kids like slaves, or even worse. And how it works with OCS, if they have to take a child from a family, the goal is always to reunite the kid again with the family. However, sometimes it's just not working out, and then it's time for adoption. And then OCS might find a family who likes to adopt the child. And then one of the highlights for the new family is when the child really says, Mom and Daddy. To the parents. And now it's the same here. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as your own, as His own child. Now we call Him Abba, Father. Now Abba, we could translate that just Daddy, you know? Something really personal and not just, yep, He's my Father. That's kind of far away. We can say Daddy. Now that's the difference. Now we call Him our Father. Now if you look into your Bible, I think Chris mentioned that last week, there are two parts. There's the old part, or the first part, and the second part. Now in the Old Testament, that was a pretty big shift, because the Old Testament had the emphasis on the Almighty God, and if you have sinned, you had to do a sacrifice. Bloody sacrifices. I think Lou at Young Life Club, you told us a number when the Jews would celebrate the Passover feast in Jerusalem. How many sheep did they bring into town?
Over 300,000.
Over 300,000 sheep. Now they weren't there for petting zoo. They got slaughtered. 300,000 sheep. Can you imagine that? That is quite a mess. And they had to do that in the temple all the time. They slaughtered sheep and other kind of creatures all the time. But with Jesus, the final slaughter lamb, the slaughterhouse got closed. There's no slaughtering anymore. And now we can call him Abba, Father. Now the Jews still celebrating the Passover, actually in, I think, end of March, pretty much in a month. They're still celebrating the Passover, but they're not slaughtering anymore because there's no temple anymore. Now when Jesus came and when he died for us, that's it. The slaughterhouse is closed. And we have a close relationship to God. Now, are you adopted? God is doing the main thing, but still, you have the choice. Are you accepting that he likes to adopt you? Another thing I like to mention here, if we say we got adopted into his family. When I started dating Silky, for some reason, suddenly I had no time anymore for other people. And to be honest, there was no need to have more time for other people anymore, but for all of them, you know what I mean? But let's say some other nice girls, you know, there was no need for me to meet them anymore and put effort into it. Now, if you got adopted in God's family, it's also changing a little bit. It's a new relationship, and you just hang out with God a little bit more, you hang out with his family. So you got adopted in his family. The third point I see here is adopted heirs of Christ. It's verse 17. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are share his glory, we must also share his suffering. It was a kind of wealthy couple, and they had one child. It was a son. But a few years, when the boy was 3 years, I think, the mother died. Now the daddy just took care about the child, and they had a really intimate relationship, and they really had a good time. But then the next tragedy was happening when the boy was 18. He died in a car accident. And now the daddy was alone. And it was just a pain for him. And he lived a few more years, really in agony, and then he passed away. And later on, of course, all the relatives came. Like I said, he was a really wealthy man, a wealthy family. And they were looking for the last will. They were looking, okay, who's getting the stuff? But they couldn't find the last will. They were trying hard, but they could not find it. And they just started to divide the stuff. And one afternoon when they were doing that, the housemaid was coming because she was taking care about him for years, really faithfully. And there was one picture on the wall. There was a picture from the daddy and his son. And she was asking the relatives if she could have that picture because she just had a close relationship. And nobody else cared and said, yeah, sure, just take it. So she took it home, and she wanted to put the picture on the wall, and there was a slip falling out, a piece of paper. And she picked up the piece of paper, and guess what it was? It was the last will. And she was reading it, and the last will said, whoever takes this picture is the heir of all my stuff. So the housemaid got all the stuff because for the daddy, he was thinking, well, that's a true sign. Whoever likes to have this picture of me and my son really cares about me. There are some pretty other amazing stories, you know, when people die and the question is last will and who is getting all the stuff, you know. Yeah, amazing. And well, yeah, once in a while, you know, you think, oh yeah, I got this big portion of stuff, but then, oops, surprise, you know, they donated the money to the Bible church or whatever. Sometimes there's a really big surprise. And I don't know why, but for some reason, Christians and even myself, we are still surprised. I have to read it again, verse 17. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Well, that sounds exciting, right? I get something. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But it's just a little tiny word, but it's a really important word, right? But if we are shared, if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Now for some reason, I know it in my head, but practically I just need the glory part, you know, the suffering part, it fades out. And, I don't know why, but if we are heirs of Christ, we are not just sharing his glory, we also share his suffering. And that's a tough thing. If you think you just got adopted from God, and from now on everything is just smooth and easy and fine, it's just not reality. It might be nice for a fairy tale, but this is not reality. This has nothing to do with reality. Yeah, here we go. I have a world map here. And if you are Christian and you live in the white part of the world, more or less, absolutely nothing is happening. So where's Alaska?
Left.
No, not that
far. Oh, here. Okay, right here. If you're a Christian, you're fine.
Wait, look, there's one spot in the United States.
This one?
Yeah.
Looks like a big lake or so. Maybe a fly just pooped on it. I don't know. But it's not a spot. Now, see, this is the country where we're from. No problem. You go to church, easy. But these other spots here, who are kind of dark, who knows that country?
Asia. Japan.
It's not Japan. Japan is here.
Oh, China.
China is here.
North Korea.
North Korea. It's really dangerous to be a Christian in North Korea. There are other countries. I think this is Afghanistan. This is Iran. This is Iraq. Syria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen. That's Somalia. If you're a Christian in these countries, you will suffer. Lots of us get some email newsletters from Open Doors or Voice of the Martyrs. You can read stories every week. I read one story from Abedini, and Abedini is from Iran. And where is that story? The problem with Abedini was that he accepted Christ 2000. In 2005, he moved to the States because it was just too dangerous for him. And he lived in Idaho. And in 2009, he started to go back to Iran because he wanted to build an orphanage. In 2012, they locked him. Now he's in prison and he's not coming out anymore. Because they say he was talking about Jesus and the Christian God. Now he's locked there, and he shares the suffering of Christ. Akono from Nigeria, his aunt was a Sunday school teacher. Now who's a Sunday school teacher here? One, two, three. His aunt was a Sunday school teacher, and she still is. And people came to her house, and they wanted to kill not her, but her husband. But her husband wasn't at home. There were just the kids there, 14 and 15 years old. And the man killed the two kids in front of the mother because she was teaching Sunday school. What's going on with Ivrini? I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's from Algeria. I think that's here. The problem with him, he was just talking with a colleague at his job. He wasn't talking specifically about Jesus. He was just talking about, you know, God and the world. But later on, his friend, his so-called friend, colleague from the job, he went to the police, and he didn't went to jail. He just got a fine of $1,500 because he talked with his friend about God. Now this is happening right now when we think about persecution, when you ask people about persecution, when was the high point for persecution, most of us, we always point to the Roman Empire, you know, when they did all the cruel stuff to the Christians. And it was a bad time, of course, but if you're looking for the high peak in persecution right now, it is right now. And it's really weird because we all have cell phones and we all have a TV, most of us are connected to internet. So we should know what's going on in the whole world, right? We are super cool connected, but we're just blending it out, we're just focusing on our areas. I'm focusing on this area, most of us focusing on this area. This one here is totally out. But this is reality, and times might change. We don't know when, but it might be possible that these areas spreading out in this area, in this area, in this area, Europe, America. And then it's getting tough. But the Bible is saying us, if you got adopted in God's family and you are an heir of God, this also could happen to you. So God is doing the main part. He likes to adopt you. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Are you ready to pay the price? And it is tough. What I'd like to do right now is, I think it would be good to pray first for these countries and especially for these three men, Abedine, Akono, and Ibuyeni or so. So please just make small groups and pray for these men who are persecuted and who are sharing the suffering of Christ right now. Right now people got killed, and I will close the prayer. Just make small groups, 4 or 5 people, and just pray about these things.